So John chapter 8 this morning, verses 12 through 59. And the outlines are going around. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 59. The title of the message is The Light of the World. The Light of the World. And so the first thing we'll look at this morning is that Jesus is the light of the world in verse 12. Jesus is the light of the world. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So this is another one of Jesus's I am statements. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the water of life. And now he says, I am the light of the world. And he says this in the temple. And light was an important part of the Feast of Tabernacles that had just ended. The temple was beautifully lit up at night during this feast to commemorate the pillar of fire by night when the Jews wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And as the Bible says earlier in chapter 8, in verse 2, early in the morning he came again into the temple. So this incident with the Jews bringing the woman caught in adultery to try and set up Jesus, that was a brief incident. And then he starts saying, I am the light of the world. So likely the sun was rising. And so he's saying, I am the light of the world. Now notice that the Bible says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the whole world, not just the believing world. And so as God sends out his grace and he's seeking to draw sinners to himself, he gives light to the whole world. And if Jesus didn't do that, no one would ever come to him, because the depravity of man is such, the sinfulness of man is such, that the Bible says that there is none that seeks God. Our understanding is darkened, and we would never come to God unless God came looking for us first. And so Jesus sends out this light to the whole world. And he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me, that's another way of saying he that believeth. He that believes in me, we follow him by faith. And so those who believe in him and follow him by faith shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, that is Jesus Christ. Now the second thing we see is that the Pharisees want to silence the light in verses 13 through 18. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. So they said, you can't give testimony of yourself. That wouldn't be a true testimony. If we were in court, you couldn't do that. And they said, your record's not true. Now, of course, sometimes the only person that can give a testimony of you is you. Because if nobody else really knows you, there's nobody else to give a testimony of you. And the truth is that these Pharisees didn't know Jesus. They knew him after the flesh. They knew that his mother was Mary. They supposed his father was Joseph. But they didn't really know him. They didn't know he was the Son of God. They didn't know his father, as he'll say. And so they said, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. So Jesus says, you don't know where I came from. You don't know God. You don't know the Father. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. So the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, were judging Jesus after the flesh, after what they saw, after his humanity. But they did not know his deity. And so Jesus says, "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." And certainly Jesus doesn't judge after the flesh. "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. One witness," and this is Deuteronomy 19:15, which is one of the verses he may have been referring to. "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." And so you had to have at least two witnesses. And so Jesus refers to this. And then he says in verse 18, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." So there's two witnesses, the Son and the Father, and they both bear witness of Jesus Christ. Of course, the Pharisees didn't believe this. They didn't understand what he was saying. And that leads us to the third point, the light reveals the Father, verses 19 through 20. "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." So they had no idea what he was talking about. He talks about the Father bears witness with the Son, and they say, "Where's your Father?" And they were thinking of an earthly father. And Jesus says, "Ye neither know me nor my Father." Now, these were religious leaders of the Jews, the spiritual leaders of the Jews. And Jesus says, "You don't know me, you don't know the Son of God, and you don't know God either." So here you have religious leaders that were lost. That were lost. They didn't know the Father nor the Son. And Jesus said, "If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also." To know the Son is to know the Father. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." And you can't deny the Son of God and believe in God the Father. You also can't deny God the Father and believe in the Son. "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." So Jesus is in a very public place. This was the court of the women. It was a prominent place. And the treasury, it is said that there were 13 boxes there, collection boxes, and they would take up all their collections there. And so it was a very public place. And so Jesus isn't saying this stuff in a corner somewhere. He's saying it in a very public place and declaring himself and God as his Father. But the Pharisees who wanted to arrest him, the Jewish religious leaders that wanted to arrest him, couldn't do it because his hour was not yet come. And you cannot upset God's timetable. God had a timetable, and they could not go against that timetable. And that's true for our lives as well. God has a purpose that he's working out, and an ultimate purpose in this world. And we get flustered and think that all this stuff's happening and that God's not really in control. But the truth is that God's working his purposes, and sometimes his purposes conflict with our purposes. But he's working these things out. And they couldn't lay hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And the fourth thing we see is believe in the light or face eternal darkness, 21 through 24. So the word of God says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." So that's a pretty blunt statement. You'll seek me. I'm going my way. You'll seek me. And you'll die in your sin. Of course, after Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, the Jews were still seeking the Messiah. They still wanted to find the Messiah. And there are groups of Jews still seeking the Messiah today. But Jesus says, you'll seek me as the Messiah, and you'll die in your sins. And why would they die in their sins? Because they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe in him as the Messiah. They were going to seek something else. Jesus says, whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Now earlier they had said, will he go and preach the gospel to the dispersed? Will he work with the Gentiles? And now they say, is he going to kill himself? And of course, Jesus was not going to kill himself, but Jesus was going to control whether he died or not. Because his crucifixion would not have happened unless it were the very plan and the will of God. And they don't understand it. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. He's given them a clear distinction. He said, y'all think I'm a child of Mary and Joseph, or Mary and somebody else, but Jesus says, I'm from above, you're of this world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It's either believe or perish. It's either come to the light by faith or be in eternal darkness. And that's the way it is. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He gives them hope. He says, you're going to seek me and you're going to die in your sins. But he says, then he tells them, if you believe not that I am he. You can believe, but if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Of course, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, he said, you men of Israel, you have crucified the Lord of glory. And there were thousands of people saved that day, and some of the same people that were there consenting to Jesus' crucifixion and yelling, crucify him, no doubt were saved that day. And so the fact that they rejected him at this point does not mean that they permanently rejected him. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The implication is that if they had known what they were doing, if they'd truly known it, then they wouldn't have been able to be forgiven. But they didn't understand what was going on. And that leads us to point number five, misunderstanding the light, verses 25 through 27. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And he said, I've been telling y'all who I am from the beginning, and you won't listen. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. But then we see that many believe in the light, verses 28 through 30. Then said Jesus unto them, ye have lifted up the Son of, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So Jesus is referring to his crucifixion, and he says, when you've lifted the Son of Man up, when I've been lifted up on the cross, then you'll know. Of course, the Bible says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And so he's seeking to save sinners. He's drawing all men to himself. Not all men will believe, but he's drawing them to himself. But they didn't understand at this point. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. So there were many people that believed on him. And the next few verses deal with this. And that leads us to the seventh point, the light brings freedom, verses 31 through 47. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And so he said, if you want to be my disciple indeed, you need to continue in my word. And so there's people that believe in Jesus that don't continue in his word. But Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple indeed, continue in my word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's a great verse. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That was carved into the doorway above my high school that I went to. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Talking about Jesus. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now they, here, does not refer to the Jews who had believed in him. Rather, it refers to the Jewish religious leaders who had come there to argue and oppose him. In the crowd, there were both believers and there were Jesus' enemies. So you see a transition here. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. So the person who commits sin, the person who lives their life in sin, becomes a servant of sin. You're a slave to sin if you're living your life in sin. And the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And so this would have brought forth an image in their mind that they would have been familiar with, a biblical image. And there was Isaac, and there was Ishmael. The Galatians talks about this, cast out the son of the bondwoman. There was a son of the flesh, and there was a son of the spirit. And so the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And he's trying to make a point to them that you need to be saved. You need to believe in me. You're servants of sin. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So if you want real freedom, come to the Son of God. You notice how Jesus is trying to reach these people who are there to argue with him and oppose him. He's trying to reach them with the gospel. He's not telling them, y'all are bound for hell, go away. That's just the way it is. He's trying to reach them with the gospel. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Charles Spurgeon, of course, was a five-point Calvinist. And so he said, I believe in election and predestination and all those things that are in the Bible. Different people have different views on those things, but he said, I believe in those things. But Spurgeon said, I am opposed to that heresy that says that we shouldn't say anything to the lost, that what God has purposed is just going to take place, and that we should not say anything to the lost. We shouldn't invite them to come. We should just say, well, if fate has it that you're meant to be saved, you'll be saved, and if fate has it that you're meant to be damned, then you'll be damned. And so we should say nothing and just go on and worship God and let God's plan do what it's going to do. And Spurgeon said that's a heresy. We invite people to be saved. And so even if Jesus knew that these people would never be saved, he's still inviting them to be saved. He's still saying, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's what he's saying to his enemies. And we have to understand that the majority of the world will not be saved. That's what the Bible teaches, right? So what the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And yet, Jesus tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. So we have a duty as Christians to invite everyone to be saved. That's what God wants. God is calling the whole world to be saved, yet the whole world will not be saved. But we've got to leave that invitation open to all, because it's the only way sinners will get saved. Sinners are not going to be saved by sitting around worshiping God and being quiet about the gospel. Sinners get saved through the preaching of the gospel. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. So once again, Jesus, this is part of God's plan. Jesus is going to go to the cross. And multiple times we have read in these scriptures where Jesus actually suggests to them killing him. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. And that was true. They were seeking to kill him, but you don't bring things up to people if you're trying to prevent it. If you can't pay your mortgage, then you don't call the bank and say, I want to talk to y'all, and go in and talk to the bankers and say, you know what, I know y'all are thinking about foreclosing on my house. And I know y'all might want to foreclose on my house, but I'm saying, don't foreclose on my house. You don't do that. You just don't bring stuff up like that. But Jesus, God's plan is for Jesus Christ to go to the cross. So he's bringing it up. He's saying, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham didn't try to silence people that told the truth. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So apparently, even at that point, there was a rumor started that Jesus was born of fornication. And they're bringing that up. Later on, that turned into, Jesus was the son of a Roman soldier and Mary. But even at that point, Mary was pregnant when she and Joseph got officially married. They were betrothed. Well, while they were betrothed, she was pregnant, is the point. And so there was a rumor started that Jesus was born of fornication. And so they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus just lays it out there. He says, you guys are of your father the devil. You're liars. Your father's a liar. You're liars. You're not children of Abraham. Think of who Jesus is talking to. He's talked to the religious leaders. This is like going to the Pope if we were Catholic. It's like going to the Pope and pointing at him and saying, "You're a wicked man. Your father's the devil." If you want to watch a fun video, type in Ian Paisley and Pope Parliament. It's very, very fun to watch. Ian Paisley was a Presbyterian preacher, and he believed the Pope was the Antichrist, and he also was a member of Parliament. So the Pope came to speak at Parliament, John Paul. So the Pope was speaking, and Ian Paisley gets up and says, "You're the Antichrist! You're the Antichrist!" Like that, and they had to pull him out of Parliament. It's very entertaining. Watch it if you can. It's on YouTube. But that's what Jesus is doing. He's pointing at the Jewish religious leaders and saying, "You're not Abraham's children. Your father's the devil. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." And then we see the Jews' response to the light, verses 48 through 51. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" So they throw a little racial slur at him. And are we not saying, well, you're a Samaritan, you're a half-breed, and you don't have the devil, and you have the devil? Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." And then we see the age of the light in verses 52 through 56. "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And then we see the light is God, verses 57 through 58. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Which is saying, I am God. It's a name of God. I am. I am God. Before Abraham was, I am. And you see that they knew that he was claiming to be God because they attempt to kill him in verse 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." And so we've seen the light. Jesus is the light of the world. "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. And so, again, in John, we have seen Jesus presented as the bread of life, the water of life, and the light of the world. And the message for us today is, let's believe in the light. Let's believe in him. Let's share the light. I think most of you here, probably all of you, are saved. If you're here and you're not saved, you can believe in the light today. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He died on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead, and he wants to save you. If you'll believe in him, you'll be born again, you'll be saved. But once you're saved, you don't need to hide the light, you need to share the light. The light must be shared. And Sometimes Christian work is discouraging work. It's discouraging work. People aren't getting saved. Sometimes the crowd's not what we think it should be, but we still have to share the light because that's part of God's plan. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Take the gospel and share Jesus Christ with your family and with your friends and with your loved ones. Keep inviting people to church. Keep sharing the message of Christ. Keep praying that God will build His church and that He will do great things in this place. And pray for me and pray for one another. And let's share the light of Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that can light up the dark world. You know, I'll close by saying this. People are in darkness. They're blinded. The Bible describes unsaved people as being blinded. But guess who opens blinded eyes? Jesus. Jesus opens blinded eyes. And the Apostle Paul said that God had sent him to preach the gospel and to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So part of the commission we have in preaching the gospel is through the preaching of the gospel, God uses that preaching to open blinded eyes and to save sinners. So let's take this life-giving gospel to the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this place. I do pray that we would share Your gospel this week. I pray we'd take some tracts from the back table and that we would share Your word. I pray we'd share our testimonies, invite people to church, and just believe that You're doing a work here and that You want to do a work. And we thank You for the work You've been doing here. We praise Your name for it. We pray if anyone here is not saved, we pray that they would come to You today in faith and believe in You, Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Amen. We'll stand.